The opinions voiced on this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, or financial advisor prior to investing. Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.
It's Inauguration Day, and expectations abound, broad expectations. Could it be those emotions are going to impact your portfolio? Should they? Well, we're going to talk about that today on What Really Matters, and we start now. Welcome to What Really Matters. It's Inauguration Day, January 20th, 2017. Obama's out, Trump's in, and we don't want to beat a dead horse, but I'm joined today once again by Jeff Hyback of Strategic Equity Management. And Jeff goes into quite a bit of detail as he's watched, observed some, you know, patterns of behavior with people over the years and from what he reads. So Jeff, tell us, emotions are high. And, you know, in a general sense, we've always told people don't try not to invest emotionally. And yet, like, let me ask you, how do you not do that? How do you not get, I mean, you've said it yourself, we all have emotions, including you, you know, and you're the guy that's, you know, the more the accountant type, and you've done accounting, you've been in finance, you've managed money. How do you avoid the damaging impact one way or the other of emotion? You're human.
You know, I think the first thing that we all have to deal with is, you know, like they say, acknowledge there's a problem. And, yeah. You know, I've been, since I finished the CFA program, I've actually had some free time on my hands, and I did take some time off to learn how to play bass guitar and do some fun things, but now I find myself just itching to learn more. And I picked up a book a couple of weeks ago during the Christmas break, and it's called Misbehaving, and it's by a professor of economics, which, you know, you would think, oh, well, this is going to be a boring book, but his name's Richard Thaler. And if you watch the movie The Big Short, the way to remember him is he's the one with Selena Gomez talking about prospect theory and some of the errors in our decision making. And one thing I liked about this book and why it was recommended to me was it essentially tells you why all the economic models are wrong. And if you've listened to these podcasts for even a couple of weeks, you know that I'm a constant critic of these economic models. And so if anybody is interested in learning why the economic models don't work, I'd look for that book, Misbehaving, on Amazon. I actually have a link to it in my blog.
Which is SEMtradersblog.com. Once again, I'll say it. It's SEMtradersblog.com. So yes. Anyway, but you are intrigued by that. Jeff, why do you think you're so interested in that?
It's, you know, because since I started my career, I've seen investors make bad decisions, including, like you said, myself. I mm-hmm. started investing in the heyday of the tech bubble and thought it was a new era. And I was comparing every stock out there to Microsoft because that was my first investment. I bought it in 95 and it was more than a home run. You know, back-to-back-to-back grand slams.
Yeah,
in fact. And so then every stock I looked at, I was comparing, well, is this the next Microsoft? And you tend to start framing it that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then of course it blew up. And thankfully for me, I wasn't living off of my investments in those tech stocks or I would have been broke. But, and also my clients were not invested in those. It was just some fun money that I had. But I saw clients doing the same thing. We had a client that thought the Invesco Tech and Telecom Fund, which is now defunct, was going guaranteed to double in the year 2000, and simply because it had the year before, and he heard somebody on CNBC say that 2000 was going to be better than last year.
Right.
So
right.
We all have these, you know, mental lapses, if you will, that are, you know, something we shouldn't beat ourselves up over. You know, that's one thing I like about the book Misbehaving is it says, you know what? The reason you make these errors is because you're human.
Right.
We all
right.
make them.
We all are.
And yeah, and so the first step is figuring out, hey, I'm human. therefore I'm going to make mistakes. And the best way to overcome a lot of these is to just educate yourself on which ones are you likely to fall for, whether it's overconfidence, whether it's hindsight bias, where you look at things and say, oh, I knew that all along. If you keep finding yourself saying that, then clearly you didn't know it all along because you were wrong a lot. There's things where, you know, present bias or recency bias or whatever you want to call it, where you take what's happened over the last few months or few years and project it out indefinitely into the future. There's confirmation bias, where you're always looking for things that match, you know, your beliefs. There's lots of different ways that you can make errors that we don't have time to go into today. But tying this back to Inauguration Day, we see people far too often, in the stock market especially, is taking a known, which was the heydays of the Reagan years, and then trying to make Donald Trump match that. So you look at these things, and Dr. Thaler went through, this was written before the election, it published in 2015, but he was talking about, you know, how the right is always pushing for tax cuts. And obviously that's one of the big things on President Trump's platform. And he makes a valid point of sometimes tax cuts work and it spurs spending. Sometimes they have the opposite effect. It comes down to the messaging. What do you call it? A cut, a rebate, a bonus? Is it going to come in every paycheck? Is it going to come as a one-time check from the government? Is it going to come as a reduction in your taxes? How that is delivered makes a big impact on what happens in the economy. Same way with government spending. How is it's put out there, you know, where it's directed to, that is a big issue. But then we see these economists say, oh, Trump's going to do infrastructure spending and have tax cuts. Therefore, we're going to see economic growth. Therefore, stocks are going to go up because, oh, yeah, they went up during Ronald Reagan's presidency. And then they don't take a step back and look at the data and say, shortly after the inauguration of Ronald Reagan, we went into a recession and had a pretty bad bear market. Mm-hmm. We forget that everybody says, oh, yeah, that was short term. But you're living through those days and you're excited about Ronald Reagan. And then all of a sudden you start to see the economy rolling over and stocks falling. You tend to overreact and most likely you sold and didn't participate in that bear market until it was too late. So just studying the data is critical whenever you're making any sort of decision. Or, you know, what we always recommend is, unless you're willing to be almost like a robot, an engineer or an accountant or somebody like that, and just because you're in those fields doesn't mean you're a robot, because I've seen them make emotional decisions. Because we're human.
Wait a minute. Haven't seen robots make emotional decisions, have you? I mean, that's not...
Not yet.
Not yet. Good.
If you want to watch a good scary show about robots taking over, I'd encourage you to check out Westworld on HBO, because that'll make you lose sleep at night, artificial intelligence we have.
I don't know. I have enough things that can kind of keep me up at night if I let them, so I don't want to add to the list. But anyway, this is an interesting topic, and I can't stress it enough. I know... Jeff, well, you meet enough with clients as well. You're both manager and you still do visit with the end user of the investments that Strategic Equity Management, those portfolios that you guys run. And I'm seeing it again this week. And I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I've met with people who are overly optimistic, I think, about the Trump win, because it's the market, let's face it, from a just standing back, you know, from a distance, we see a market that still is grossly overvalued, not because of Trump, but because of all of a number of factors, but the market run up, you know, with the all the quantitative easing that the Feds did. And yet I also have met people this week that are just absolutely in the dumps, believing that this Trump inauguration, Trump becoming president, is the worst thing in the world, and they're just really distraught, down, depressed, and I on the one hand, I could understand it because I know it was a big upset, but on the other side, I do think everybody on both sides. I mean, when I say understand, I understand the why some folks would be giddy about the prospects of things changing you know, moving away perhaps from some of the social programs to more of a business mindset, less government, more business. I don't know how true that's going to be. You know, it's too soon to say. But for it's just to me, I'm amazed at the depth of the emotion and the thoughts that are running through people's heads to either run for the hills or put everything into something that's going to get in front, try to get in front of Mr. Trump's actions. And I just think, man alive, those are both very, very reckless things that are pure emotion. It's either greed or fear. And neither one, unless you're running away from a wild animal that broke into your house or something, I just can't imagine this can end good for and well for most people. And so,
And I'd encourage anybody, you know, whether you're interested in economic models or not, if you're, you know, making your own predictions on what's going to happen with the new president, you know, definitely go to SEMtradersblog.com and check out the Warning Changes Ahead blog article. There's three articles out this week. I think they're all good, but I have bias on that.
But there you go.
It's, you know, there's a section that maybe we should just end on for somebody to consider over the weekend as sure. They evaluate what lies ahead. And Dr. Thaler talked about the psychology of decision-making and forecasting. And he said there's some distinct things that come into play that cause us to make really bad decisions or bad forecasts. And number one is overconfidence, where we think that our ability to make these forecasts is greater than anybody else. Most of us are probably in that boat. Number two is you make extreme forecasts because you don't understand the reality of the situation and how statistics work. Going back to just what you said, you know, I've heard pro-Trump people talking about 4-5% GDP growth. Well, you don't understand how our economy works. You can't turn this giant vessel like that and that quickly. We have a lot of structural things.
Yeah, we do.
At the other side, I see people say, no, I mean, this was a lot of fear-mongering before the election. Oh, the market's going to drop 50%. Well, it takes a major type of crisis and a big slowdown to cause that to happen. And again, it's a big economy. One man is not going to change the way things happen. Another thing people tend to do when they're making forecasts is they have this false consensus effect where we believe that all the other people share our preferences, and therefore it gives us this sense of being right. And then it filters back into your overconfidence. Mm. You know, look around. You know, our Facebook feed tends to be filled with people that share our beliefs. You know, go out somewhere and look for the other side and ask yourself, why do I feel this way and why does somebody else feel a different way? I know I'm an independent, so I do that all the time. I don't understand how anybody can be a Republican or a Democrat at this point, but I got to listen to them and I ask them. I'm like, okay, why are you a liberal or why are you a Republican? And they honestly have their own opinions, and sometimes I think they're valid and sometimes I don't. But we got to ask that. Not everybody thinks the way we think or shares the same beliefs we do.
Right.
And then finally, you run into this present bias where you just focus so much on what's been happening over the short term that you don't take a step back and look at the bigger picture in the long term. And,
yeah.
You know, like I mentioned with Reagan, it was great in the end, but he had a really bad bear market and a bad recession.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Obama, and I know people still argue that he was horrible for the economy, but it's hard to argue with what's happened with the stock market. And a lot of the reason it happened with the stock market was there was so much fear of what he was going to do in terms of mass regulations, throwing Wall Street executives in jail, huge tax hikes on the rich, all these things that he talked about on the campaign trail that, you know, 6 or 7 weeks into the job, when it became apparent that he's not going to get any of his stuff done in Congress, people had a big sigh of relief. And then he even, you know, went a step further to kind of get Wall Street on his side, and it was off to the races. And
yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen.
No,
and
we
there's
don't.
No Mm-mm. president in our lifetime, if you've lived in the U.S. your entire life, you've never seen a change in the presidency like we're going through right now.
Right.
Which I don't know how you could have any confidence. You don't have a framework to judge it on.
Right.
You just don't know.
All right. But let me ask you, while you're saying that, on the one hand, though, the other thing that you've been saying for quite some time now, and tell me if this is no longer valid or true, the stock market is at or near all-time highs. and interest rates still remain not very far from all-time lows. We're at a strange place that way, are we not?
Yeah, absolutely. But interest rates are going up a lot.
They have, yes.
And they're up to 2.5%. I believe the low last year was right around 1.3, 1.4. So
I think Bill Gross, one of the bond guys, is saying that if we break the 2.6 and stay above it or something, that he sees that as the turning point for the 30-year declining trend to start reversing.
Yeah, and Jeffrey Gundlach says 3. Yeah. Either way, you know, we've talked about before where if we start seeing that, it makes a lot of Trump's policies tough to push through just because the interest payments are going to be so high. But then he has other ideas out there. And like I said, we just don't know.
Yeah,
and it's all right to say, you know what? I don't know. However, I have a retirement I'm planning for, and I can't risk my own emotional judgments influencing that.
That's wisdom. That's wisdom. That's right.
And you know, that's why we do what we do at SEM is we try to take all the emotions out of it. We use the data and we just let it be what it will be. And sometimes it means we're going to miss some upside, but we know our own clients will tend to overreact. There's another thing in Dr. Thaler's book, and he has a study that says losses are twice as painful as gains are pleasurable.
So that means
you will remember the losses, and you're more likely to react quicker to the losses than if you start to get a gain. And then even worse, you start to have things where you're so far underwater with your accounts, then you start taking on even more risk, which then means you expose yourself to even greater losses. And then at some point you just give up because you feel like you have no chance of making back those losses.
Yeah.
And then you just locked in all those losses. So it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to say, you know what, I don't know. That's what we're here to do. We're not robots, but we are here to try to do that to the best of our abilities.
There you go.
Because everybody has strengths and everybody has weaknesses.
Yeah, we all do. We all do. So, and it's in conversation, it's in dialogue that stuff gets fleshed out, because we all need some, you know, benefit of counsel. And here at the 401k Latte Company, we have a tagline. Jeff, what is that again? You can tell them.
Invest in a conversation.
And do it soon.
You've been listening to What Really Matters with Peter McClellan, a chartered financial consultant with the 401k Latte Company in Lakeville, Minnesota. For a no-cost consultation or second opinion of financial issues, call us at 952-882-0400. That's 952-882-0400. Or visit us online at 401klatte.com. That's 401klatte.com. We want to remind you to invest in a conversation.